Welcome. I'm Mrs. Techie and I'm here to help you integrate technology into your classroom. A little bit about me. I've been teaching for 19 years. The first 18 years were in a classroom of various shapes and sizes. I've been up north, been lucky enough to have a classroom of only 14 students, and the biggest class I've ever had is 31, which can make life very interesting, as you can imagine. I've taught all the way from prep through to grade 7, and I really love teaching. I just love watching kids make discoveries and learn about the world all around them. So teaching technology for the last couple of years has been really, really exciting to me. I know lots of people out there are really nervous about teaching technology in their classroom, and so I'm hoping that this podcast will help some of you out there to get started. I have 3 children, a teenager and 2 younger children, and 2 boys and a girl. They're very interested in tech in various ways, and they really look at it as a creative outlet. And I urge you all to do that as well, that tech isn't just playing games or fixing things. It can be a really creative pursuit. I teach kids in my tech classroom to make animations, short films, video games, and also to use it to do desktop publishing. A bit about my background in tech. I started out when I finished school. I had been part of a computer club for a number of years, a girls only computer club. It was back in the early 90s where it was part of that Girls Can Do Anything campaign going on. And I was really lucky to have a special teacher who was young and very into maths and science, and she encouraged me to go along to computer club, and I just fell in love with computers from then on. At uni, I actually went into a Bachelor of Communications, majoring in journalism, thought I would like to be some sort of researcher. And that's when the internet really started to take off. I really enjoyed working with computers at uni. I used to walk an hour on the weekends just to go and check my email. So that was a really exciting time to be part of all of that. Then my husband and I started a IT business. I did a bit of book work and encouragement, and he did the hard yards on that. But certainly I always had the latest gadgets to play with in my home, and that's been really exciting. In the last few years, I started a code club, and that's been quite successful. I have kids drifting in and out, as you do with lunchtime clubs. But I found that kids as young as 6 and 7 are really into coding and the power that it has to let them be creative and make things. And I think making things is a little bit of an art that we're losing in our society these days, that we're so used to popping down to Kmart to buy something that's pre-made, that joy that you get in making something that wasn't there before is being lost. So I really enjoyed opening a code club and having kids have that joy in creating for themselves and others. From then on, I've delved into the technology curriculum, working as a master teacher and coaching some teachers in getting the tech curriculum up and running. And also just working in a school teaching ICTs to students. So, digital and design tech actually. Everything from sewing with sewing machines to building things with code. And helping teachers to become familiar with that curriculum while I'm teaching the students. So it's been really exciting, different, lots of different bends in the road for my career. And I'm really excited about what's happening, what's going to come up next. And I'm really looking forward to perhaps getting some ideas from people listening to this podcast as well, because I'm always up to try something new. Okay, so you want to start tech in your classroom. I have some advice for you, I suppose, having been there and done that. The first thing is that we have to understand that with technology teaching, it's not like other teaching. It's not like when we're teaching maths or English and we're demonstrating and modelling to the students and saying, do it the way I do it. You know, come on little ducklings, follow mother duckling and everything will be fine. It's more like a coaching role. The sort of coaching that you see happening on athletics fields everywhere. You know, the coach knows that all of the people that they're coaching could beat them. The people they're coaching are
definitely far superior in talent and potential to them. But they're there to encourage, redirect, and give their people some opportunities, to make sure they don't miss out on opportunities, and just to sort of facilitate that way to success. So when it comes to technology teaching, don't feel that you need to know what you're doing before you get started. It's kind of like committing the cardinal rule of teachers, you know, we must be prepared at all costs. Well, with tech teaching, yes, you must be prepared, you must have a plan, but it's okay to have a soft plan and some rough guidelines about what might happen in your room. If you wanted to get started with coding, I have something fantastic to talk to you about today, and it's called Code Club. It's actually, they have a Sydney office, and they have a worldwide presence. They have developed some modules for people to follow step by step to get them coding with Scratch. The modules are amazing because they are pictorial, so you don't have to understand all the words you're reading to get started. They'll show you exactly where to go and what to do, and it can be self-paced. So when I started off having my own Code Club, I had a room full of computers and about 10 willing participants, and we got them started there. The first module is called Rock Band, and basically that first module teaches kids where to, or adults, where to find all of the relevant parts of code that they'll need to use moving on. And so it's a visual programming language, Scratch, and Rock Band shows the user about what a stage is, and a stage is where all of the action happens, what you're going to show your audience when you eventually finish your project. There's the palettes, and the palettes contain all the blocks of code. Don't worry if this is all sounding a bit hieroglyphic-y at the moment. I promise that I will help you to break it down. And then that you have a workspace where you can actually build code. You might be familiar with the coding that we saw in the late 80s and early 90s in movies, where it was computer nerds in the dark typing various commands. You might even be like me and had a computer at your primary school in the early 80s where you had to type in words and backslashes and all sorts of weird code to play a game. Granny's Garden, anyone? But coding has become a lot more user-friendly in recent years. So when I said that Scratch is a visual programming language, what you can imagine is that it's like Lego. You know, you could ask a child to build a house out of anything, and it might go okay, it may not. You could give them some Lego and say, okay guys, off you go, let's build with Lego. And you know that Lego is going to be much easier to use because the blocks are designed to fit together. They can be organized by shape and size and function, and there are obviously guidebooks around to help kids build with Lego. Well, Scratch is like that. The code is formed into blocks that can be easily snapped together, and kids can follow some simple commands to get started. But then, just like Lego, once they know how things fit together and have some ideas of their own, they can take what they've learned and build on it in weird and wonderful ways. I would recommend, though, if you are going to start using code in your classroom, that you do get hold of a program. Like I said, my favourite is Code Club, and there's a place called Code Club World where you can access some modules to work through. I'll have some links available on the Facebook page if you'd like to go there and have a look. I'd recommend going through those modules one by one and finishing them off. To give yourself or the people you're working with some basic skills in coding. If you go through those first six modules, you're going to have a really firm understanding of what can be done using Scratch and those visual programming blocks there. And you're really going to have an understanding of how far you could take it as well. The thing I really love about Code Club is that, unlike some other programs that are out there, it does give step-by-step instructions, but it also incorporates challenges within those instructions. So it might tell you how to make a sprite make a sound or move a particular way, but then it will set a challenge and say, now that you know how to do this, work out how to extend that knowledge. So you've got built-in differentiation, basically, built-in extension for all of those kids to master. I also love that the modules are set up so that, you know, you could have, you know, in one classroom, and this is every day for me, you might have some students working on module one, and you might have some students working on module six, and you might have some students working on their own projects, and you might have other students still working to solve a problem that you have set. So, you know, Code Club really makes it very achievable for all of those things to happen simultaneously in your classroom, and everyone to be learning at their own pace and style and time, and we're not holding anyone back. Because that's the big thing I want you to know with technology teaching. Really, honestly, don't be afraid to let kids go on without you. We're living in an age where these kids really are, they call them digital natives. They really are digital natives. They've grown up not knowing a world without technology. They understand it in ways we could never hope to understand because they just take it for granted. They don't ask why or how, it just is. And, you know, we still have those walls up around us about worrying about breaking it or it failing or going away, whereas these kids, they don't have those fears. They know that there are ways to work out problems and challenges, and they're very good at doing those things on their own, subconsciously a lot of the time. So, you know, it would be a real shame for people to go into technology teaching thinking that they're going to come out at the end of 10 weeks and every child in their class will be at the same point. I think it's great to have some basic goals, but I think it's really important that we give children the opportunity to demonstrate their own understanding and for them to encourage and challenge one another and to go on ahead of us where they can. If you were going to implement Code Club into your classroom, I would recommend grade three as a great place to start it. You will have some kids in year two that are ready, so don't be afraid to go younger than that. But grade three is a really great time to start, where you know that even your kids with literacy challenges in your classroom, by grade three, they're going to have enough strategies to help themselves to get started with this. And you'll actually find that for a lot of them, where reading is quite complicated and difficult and exhausting for them, that following a program like Code Club is really invigorating because it's so visual and there's reading in there, and they can achieve at the same pace as others around them. And with those children, they often have quite good problem solving strategies too. So this is a place for them to really shine. So don't think it's just for your, you know, literate elite in your classroom. It's for everybody. Year three is a good place to start. I would say for a general school, perhaps Code Club, the first set of modules, so projects 1 to 6 would be a really good base to go for in year three. Perhaps put aside an hour a week for a term to let the kids work through those modules. Some will get through them all in that time, some will not. Some will want to go home and work on it, and I'd encourage that to happen. But if you said to yourself, let's get through those 6 modules in grade three, you're going to give those children the skills they need to tackle the rigours of the national curriculum. And I'm looking at this through the lens of Queensland, looking at C2C assessment. If year three's got through those modules, they are really well set up to achieve success in digital technology assessments. I'd go with the next 6 modules could be a year 4 project, so that by the time they've got through year 4, they have finished Scratch. As I said, some kids will want to go home and work on it, and they'll advance through those really quickly. In that case, there are also on the Code Club website, there are other languages they can learn, and that's a really, really job-ready skill that will help those children later in life. It's not just busy time or filler, it's meaningful extension. So, you know, they could go into Python next and then C++. And then you could spend your year five and six time using the knowledge they've gained in the visual programming language to perhaps code robots like the EV3s and those sorts of things, which I'll talk about in another podcast episode. But let me just say, Code Club World, check it out. It's amazing. Look at the modules, follow them through. You won't be sorry. You'll find that your knowledge and understanding and skill level will just grow so quickly using those modules. I have used some of the other ones, code.org and all of those as well. They're great, but this particular program is so well organized that I just don't think you can pass it up. Particularly if you have very limited knowledge, you could get it started in your classroom without even knowing how to code yourself. Anyway, please look at our website, Mrs. Techie, on Facebook. I'm really happy to continue to post some short videos and some help. You can ask for help if you would like some advice or assistance. Please don't hesitate to ask for it. I really love working with other teachers. It really fills my bucket. And I love the fact that out there are little kids using code to be creative. Next time I catch up with you, I'd like to talk to you about robots, because I know that's something that lots of different teachers have been asking me about: what to buy, what not to buy, what are some of the extension activities that you can do in a simple classroom. So that will be the next episode. I hope you got a little bit out of today. It's for my very first podcast, so I'm sorry if I rambled a little. I will talk to you soon. Bye.